is everything in pantheism. The universe, everything. So why would you think that they say there's no such thing as evil?
They don't want to attribute evil to God.
They don't want to attribute evil to God, but how do they get around it? If you see suffering and say, look, there's evil, they'll say, no, that's just an illusion. That's not really evil. See, everything's illusion. There's no real evil. There is real God, but there's no real evil. So, what do Christians say? There's both God and evil. That poses a particular problem for us. All worldviews must confront the problem of evil. No worldview can be considered sufficient that fails to account for the existence and persistence of evil. Atheism, like I said, evil but no God. Pantheism, God but no evil. Theism, both God and evil. Now, finite godism says God is unable to defeat evil. That means that God is limited. He can't overcome it. Deism says we're on our own. God doesn't care about evil. Pantheism says evil is a necessary part of the process of God's interactive poles. That's dualism. Two eternal principles, good and evil, throughout forever and ever. Okay. The problem for theism. What is the problem confronted by Christians when we say God exists and evil exists? How does that pose us a problem? Huh? How did evil get here? Okay, what else? Why would a good God allow evil? Evil's here, it's real. God's here, God's real. How did that get here, and why did a good God allow it? God is all-powerful and could destroy evil. We all agree with that? As theists, we say God is all-powerful, he can do whatever he wants. And we also believe that God could destroy evil, right? God is all-loving and should destroy evil. We all agree with that? Anybody disagree? Well, God is all-loving and he should destroy evil. And God knew what would happen to this world. So an all-powerful God who could destroy evil, who's all-loving and should destroy evil, and who knew what would happen to this world, created anyways. He freely created this world. He wasn't compelled by anything to create. Well, that poses a problem. Would a loving God allow evil to exist? Well, we got to answer the question, what is evil, to answer that question. What is evil? The absence of good.
Whatever's against God.
Whatever's against God. Anybody ever see Time Bandits? A few? What was evil in Time Bandits? What was at the very end? Oh, what was it? Satan? Okay, it was Satan, but how did it appear? Do you remember at the end? They said, don't touch that.
Oh, yeah, it was like a rock.
Yeah, it was like charcoal. At the end of the movie, they said, don't touch that. That's pure concentrated evil. So think about that for a minute. Pure concentrated evil. What is evil? Well, to understand the origin of evil, we must first know what it is. There are three kinds of evil. Moral evil, physical evil, and metaphysical evil. Moral evil, the acts of moral agents, when we do wrong. When moral agents... Now, is it wrong for a tiger to eat an animal?
Depends on if it's your child or not.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You'll put the animal down, huh? They don't have an oughtness about them. Maybe there's something in us that we understand that it would be better if it weren't that way. But when animals eat other animals, we don't take them to court to try them. Tyler loves little kitty cats. So you told off on yourself that time. I didn't say a thing.
They are evil, I'll tell you.
So evil, or moral evil, is the acts of moral agents. It's sin. It's doing things wrong. Acting in a way that is evil. Physical evil is things like calamities, disease, corruption. Metaphysical evil. What is metaphysical evil? That's that or in this case, not that, hunk of charcoal that's pure evil. In other words, what is evil? Is it a substance? Is it something that's in something? What is evil? Pure evil. Metaphysical evil. Well, evil as a thing. That's what metaphysical evil is, and we'll discuss that in a minute. The problem is, we got to ask the question, where did evil come from? Because God is absolutely perfect, right? God cannot create anything imperfect. But perfect creatures cannot do evil. Therefore, neither God nor His perfect creatures can produce evil. Got that? God is absolutely perfect. God cannot create anything imperfect, but perfect creatures cannot do evil. Therefore, neither God nor His perfect creatures can produce evil. Do we all agree with that? God absolutely perfect? Yes. Can God create anything imperfect? Can perfect creatures do evil? No? Well, if that's the case, then neither God nor His perfect creatures can produce evil. And so evil just popped up out of nowhere? So what's the problem here? Evil exists, but we've just outlined an argument that says evil cannot exist unless it just popped into existence by itself. Or it's some eternal principle. Because let's think about it this way. Metaphysical evil, evil as a thing, is nothing. Evil is a privation or the absence of goodness. Think about this. Evil can only exist in goodness. If you have a completely moth-eaten garment, what do you have? An empty hanger. If you have a completely rusted automobile, what do you have? Brown spot on the pavement, right? You got nothing. Because rust is not something. It only exists in something. Or corruption, I should say. It looks like rust. But corruption can only exist in a thing. So evil as a thing is only a privation of the good. Are rocks blind?
No.
But can they see? Well, but why aren't they blind if they can't see? Because they shouldn't see. There's no oughtness to it. A metaphysical evil as a thing can only exist in that which is good. So, God is absolutely perfect. God cannot create anything imperfect. But perfect creatures cannot do evil. Therefore, neither God nor His perfect creatures can produce evil. So, nobody created that pure concentrated evil like they had in Time Bandits. I mean, nobody ever watches that movie, let me tell you. I ask that all the time, and one or two people, oh, I remember that. You know? And that movie stuck with me all my life. But anyways, there you go. I need to watch it again. That's where they're arm wrestling, rips that guy's arm off. I think that's it. But anyways, pure concentrated evil doesn't exist. Evil can only exist in a thing. So what is our problem here? Because this argument says that evil doesn't exist. Because God is perfect. He only created perfect beings. Perfect beings cannot do evil. Therefore, neither God nor His perfect beings produced evil. Where's the fallacy in that argument?
Perfect beings.
Perfect. How can a perfect creature do evil?
Through one man, sin entered.
But was he perfect?
He said, God looked over His creation, and all was good. I don't know if that's qualified.
It is. It's perfect. It's good. How can a perfect being do an evil act?
Free choice.
Choice. Well, how is choice then? How does that fit into perfection?
How can you have perfection without free choice?
The perfection of freedom. Freedom is one of the perfections that God gave. God is absolutely perfect. God created only perfect creatures. One of the perfections God gave some of His creatures was the power of free choice. Some of these perfect creatures freely chose to do evil. They were morally upright. What's Ecclesiastes say about man, how he was created? Ecclesiastes 3. I think it's 3. He was created upright. And that's the word for righteous or you know, upright. Adam and Eve were created morally perfect. Doesn't mean they were tested and tried yet. But the point is that perfect creatures and a perfect creation created by a perfect God had a perfect gift called freedom that they could exercise one way or the other. There was no evil present at that time. Because evil is not a thing. It doesn't exist in eternity past as some dual principle. It's not some substance that you can spread around on the ground. It's the absence of perfection in the sense or the privation of a good thing. Now, when God commanded Adam and Eve, what did He command them? One thing. Don't eat of that fruit out of that tree right there, or you'll die. Now, was there anything evil in the garden? It was all good, right? In fact, what did Eve say when she was tempted by the fruit of that tree? She said it was three things. It was good. Good to the eyes. Good to look at. Good to eat. And good to make one wise. Three good things. Eve was not tempted by evil. She was tempted by good. Now, how is it that Eve was tempted by good and fell into evil? So she didn't choose an evil, did she? She chose what?
A lesser good.
The greatest good was obedience to God. There were three lesser goods. Good to make one wise, good to eat, good to look at. But choosing the lesser good was a privation of the best good or the greatest good. And so God had no evil in His kingdom, in His creation, until that moment where she chose that, at least as far as the earth is concerned. But when did evil really begin? When Satan chose to fall. Now that one, how evil appeared in the heart of a creature in the very presence of God, all we can say is it happened. But it was a privation of the good. Somehow Satan used his freedom to choose the lesser good. Is there glory for angels? Yeah, there's glory for angels. They're to be honored and magnified, right? But not like God. So there's a good for Satan to be honored and magnified before he was Satan, when he was Lucifer. But he chose that good over the greater good, which is God, and somehow sin appeared in his heart. So the problem of evil and the origin of it is it resides in the issue of freedom. That God so values freedom, the perfection of freedom, that He allowed evil to come to be. So that raises a whole host of other questions, right? Think of it like this. We know man is cruel today. We can look around and see. Humanity is cruel, men and women. If you don't believe it, just go to the playground. Little girls are cruel to little girls. Little boys are cruel to little boys. It's cruelty. How did man get there? Either man has always been cruel or man became cruel. If man has always been cruel, then God is evil. Why? Because God created him that way. And God created evil. And you can't give what you don't have. And if you give evil, it's because you have evil. That's called the principle of causality. You know, the effect has to be the cause has to be greater than the effect. And so if in order to give evil, you have to cause, you have to have evil. So if man was created cruel, then God is evil. So we can't say that, but if man became cruel, then he either changed by another or he changed himself. Now, if he was changed by another, if he was forced to be evil, Satan came along and forced him, that raises a problem, right? If he's changed by another, then guess what? Man's not responsible. But if man's not responsible, then there's no judgment. There's no moral responsibility in this universe. So man wasn't changed by another. Man changed himself. And God is not responsible. That's how evil came to be. So, back to the problem of evil. What is the essence or identity of evil? God is the author of everything. Evil is not a co-eternal principle with God. Evil is something. Evil is not an illusion. Therefore, God is the author of evil. That's the way some people argue. If God is the author of everything, and evil is not a co-eternal principle with God, and evil is something, it's not just an illusion, then God is the author of evil. Well, we've already covered that. How is that not the case? Huh? That's true. But where's the problem in this part? God is the author of everything, right? Evil is a thing, right? It's something, yes. It's a privation. Therefore, God's the author of evil. Solution, though. Evil is not a thing or substance to be created. It is a thing in the sense that it actually exists, but it's not a substance, as we talked about before. God created every substance. Evil is not a substance, but a real privation in a substance, i.e. blindness. Therefore, God did not create evil. God is not the author or the producer of some charcoal brick called evil. We did that. What about the persistence of evil? Why does God allow it? Why does God allow evil? Well, this is a problem. If God is all good, he would destroy evil, right? We agree with that? If God is all good, he would destroy evil. If God is all powerful, he could destroy evil. We agree with that? But evil is not destroyed. Therefore, there is no such God? That's a problem. How do you answer this? What's the solution? First of all, what's wrong with that?
God is all good, he would destroy evil.
He would destroy evil. Why is that wrong?
He'd have to destroy all people.
He'd have to destroy freedom of choice.
Freedom of choice, he'd destroy all people. Yeah, the impossibility of destroying evil is the problem with that. Why is it impossible for God to destroy evil? Not technically, but in some sense.
We didn't create it,
but he could destroy it. But where does it exist? In good things, right? Do you realize that Satan is good? Now, what do I mean when I say Satan is good? Or at least something about Satan is good?
Well, he was created by God.
Huh?
He was created by God, and he was highly... whatever is one of the better of the created beings.
If Satan were pure evil, would he exist? Because evil can only exist in good. So what is it about Satan that's good?
The part.
Huh? The part that you just said?
The part that's not evil.
His existence. When God created and he gave existence to all things, he said, it is? Existence is good. Why is existence good? Because existence is what God is. God is existence and he gives it to other people or to other things. He gives existence. So Satan has existence and that part of him is good, but guess what? Because he made a willful choice, the rest of him is corrupted and evil. And so God will not destroy anything that's good. Why? If God attacked good things, what would he be? Evil. He only destroys evil things, right? So Satan doesn't cease to exist in hell. God will never take his existence away. He will always sustain the good thing that he gave to Satan. And he will destroy Satan and the evil that he did, or the evil that he is. So God condemns the wicked to eternal hell, destroys them in eternal hell, but never takes away the goodness of their existence. Because evil itself can only exist in a good thing. That's kind of hard to get your mind on, ain't it?
Is that Cain, an instance where Cain is in the same position? Cain killed Abel, but God didn't allow him to be killed.
Right. Here's the difference. Satan doesn't have any moral goodness. He's completely morally bankrupt, morally corrupt, morally evil. His only goodness, and it's not goodness in the sense that we think of goodness as moral, his only goodness is his existence. That's it. That is it. Everything else in him is morally corrupt and evil, and he is nothing but trash. Hell is God's garbage can. That's it. He throws his refuse into hell. I mean, that is the exact analogy that Jesus used. Gehenna, the garbage dump. You will be cast into the garbage dump if you're not saved. That's the point. You will have a good thing about you, that is your existence. But if a person goes to hell, they may not even consider that a good thing. What's the atheist want? More than anything else, at the end of his life, what does he want to happen? He knows he's going to die. He can't escape that. So what does he expect after that?
Cease to exist.
Cease to exist. His greatest goal is to cease to exist.
It's a Buddhist
tour. Similar to that, blown out into the universe. Or you kind of... Yeah, very similar to that.
There's things scripted in the church today about annihilation.
Where yep.
There's no hell at all.
Yeah. We're not going
to
get through all this, but think about this. If the atheist who rages against God and hates God and all he wants is to live the way he wants, and then at the end, when he steps through death, he just disappears, who won? The atheist. Think about this. God cast the atheist into hell for 1,500 billion trillion years. And he's tortured and tormented for all that time. But at the end of that, it's over and he ceased to exist. Who won? The atheist. If at any point in his rebellion he ceases to exist, evil triumphs over good. That's why hell is eternal.
Maybe another way of saying that is that when we sin against an infinite being.
That's right. Right. And God will not destroy good. Existence is good, so he's not going to take existence from you. He will take all the other goods from you that you have corrupted and rejected and didn't want, but he won't take existence from you, or else evil wins. So, that was a way sidetracked, but... The impossibility of destroying evil. God cannot do what is actually impossible. God cannot lie. Have you ever heard, can God make a rock big enough that he can't pick up? That's actually impossible. He can't do that. Or can God make a square circle? That's actually impossible. He can't do that. And God cannot lie. That's actually impossible. The Bible says he cannot do that. He can do all things that are actually possible. It is actually impossible to destroy evil without destroying free choice. But free choice is necessary to a moral universe. Therefore, God cannot destroy evil without destroying this good moral universe. That's the solution to the problem. God could destroy evil if he wanted to. He's powerful enough. And an all-loving God would destroy evil if he could do it, without destroying this good moral universe. So that's why evil persists. Because God would have to destroy a good in order to get rid of it, because it exists within goodness. All of Satan's evil exists within the goodness of his existence. That's kind of a weird way of saying things. But and don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to say here that Satan's a good moral being. He's not. He's as evil can get. But evil has to exist in something. Solution: God will defeat evil. It persists now in this world. And God can destroy evil right now. But that doesn't mean that there's not a good God, because God will destroy evil. That's the problem with that argument that people raise. Well, if there's a good God and he can destroy evil, and there's evil all around, well, why is there evil? There shouldn't be any evil if he's good and he loves me. A good God would never let this happen to me. Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe God has a plan to defeat evil. God is all good and desires to defeat evil. God is all powerful and is able to defeat evil. Evil is not yet defeated. Therefore, evil will be defeated in the future. God does have a plan. What's it called? Where is evil defeated?
At the cross.
In fact, it's already been defeated. Where is your sting, O death? God hadn't worked it all out in history yet, but evil has been defeated. I mean, think about it. It's a simple choice. Repent and be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you escape evil. Reject him, and you're embracing it wholly, completely. And that will be your experience for all eternity. The purpose of evil. Some people object that there's no good purpose for evil. And I'll finish with this. They say that God is responsible for innocent suffering and death. So, if that's the case, evil is purposeless. All good God must have a good purpose for everything, right? There is no good purpose for some suffering, right? I mean, can you think of some things that just, did I have to stub my toe today? Was that some grand scheme? Have y'all ever seen Fiddler on the Roof? Would it upset some grand scheme of yours to let me, have a little peace? He's talking to God all the time, and it's a funny show. It's great. He's Jewish, Russian, and he's always talking to God. And he tells God one time, he says, I know the chosen people, but could you choose someone else for a while? what comes with being chosen of God? Persecution. So he's would it really bother some grand scheme if I didn't stub my toe? Some suffering seems to have no good purpose. The atheist would argue, therefore, there cannot be an all-good God. How we solve that? God has a good purpose for everything. An omnibenevolent, that means all good, God has a good purpose for everything. There is some evil for which we see no good purpose. Therefore, there's a good purpose for all evil, even if we do not see it. In other words, it's called what? What are we called to? Trust, faith, belief. This is the very heart of what God calls us to. Yes, there's evil out there. Yes, there's things that happen. But God has demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So if Christ is willing to die for us and demonstrate that he loves us, then it behooves us to have faith that, what's Romans 8 say? All things work together for the good of those who love God. He has a good purpose for all things. Four basic answers. An omnibenevolent God has a good purpose for everything, even if we cannot see it. The purpose for much evil is known by us. I mean, we know that if you're getting your foot amputated, it's because you've got diabetes or leprosy or something. And that's an evil to have your foot amputated, but there's a good purpose behind it. Or getting a tooth pulled or any of these things. We know the purpose for a lot of evil. And if we can see the purpose for a lot of evil, then we can trust God for the purpose of all evil. Evil is sometimes a byproduct of a good purpose, and not every specific event must be good for there to be a general purpose for good. Think of a good thing that evil is a byproduct of. What about water? Water's a good thing, right? Skiing on the river, you know, drinking. That's good, right? What's a byproduct of that? Drowning. Floods. Even if you don't put in the flood thing, the fact that you could drown. Evil is a byproduct of a good thing. So, sometimes, it's necessary to allow evil. God can bring good out of evil, as Romans 8 says. And we'll stop there from that. Any questions? I know that was a little convoluted because I was kind of going through it fast. We want to go ahead and finish up. But anything I need to clarify? Because I feel like I haven't been as clear as I could have been tonight. Huh? Well,
I know you weren't going there. You're trying to talk about freedom. We're not created like Adam and Eve, though.
We're
born with a simple nature. So our freedom is different than their freedom. Our freedom is bound by a simple nature. So we're only free to choose what we are unless God intervenes.
Right.
But the ultimate there, evil came because it was different. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people like to argue Adam and Eve. Okay, we're not like Adam and Eve. Because of there, we have sin, so God has to intervene. He has to send Jesus.
Right.
To overcome the evil within our hearts. So that's what, I know Kirk wasn't going there, but that's a whole different thing, and that's a great point of where evil came.
But that goes to causality.
Sure.
If y'all really want to get a great little tool to help you do theology, do apologetics, or even understand mechanics, think of the principle of causality. Causality simply says that every effect has a cause. By definition, if it's an effect, that means it was caused by something else. And there's some things that go along with that. The effect cannot have more than the cause. In other words, if I walk up to a skyscraper and push on it, and it falls over, you either think I'm Superman, which I look like, but besides that, you normally wouldn't think I was Superman. I push this thing over, you think I'm Superman, or there's something structurally wrong with the building. You know, because human beings are not great enough causes to produce that great of an effect. You got to have more in the cause than in the effect. So, Adam could not produce sinless, perfect creatures, because the cause, Adam, had fallen into sin himself, could not produce a greater effect than himself. So everything he produced was in his own image. So the principle of causality is a great principle to apply to all things, you know, even your marriage. I won't go there. I'm not married. I can't meddle there. Anyways, any questions? Man, y'all got evil. There's a whole lot more we could talk about with evil, but I wanted to get you thinking about evil in terms of freedom, in terms of what it is. That's the two most important things you need to come away with tonight. Evil is not a substance or a thing. It's a privation of the good that only exists in good, and that the reason why evil came to exist in the first place is because God gave perfect creatures of perfection called freedom. And he didn't create anything evil. Everything was good. Even the choices they had were all good choices. One was just a lesser good than the other. Because God does not tempt, remember? He wouldn't put an evil before you and say, go for it. God doesn't do that.
We are tempted when we are carried away and enticed by our own lust.
Yeah, that's right. And it's not evil lust as some translations would say. It's your own lust. You're enticed and carried away by your desires, not your evil desires. It can be any old desire can be turned to evil. Even worship, the desire to worship, turned to idolatry. It's a good desire, misplaced. All right, is that everything? We done?